Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. My guest is Chris Offutt, who's written all sorts of novels, memoirs, and short stories over the years, and he's out with a new novel. It's called Country Dark. It's available now from the good folks at Grove Atlantic. In this novel, he introduces us to Tucker, who's a Kentucky teenager who's just returned from a stint in the United States Army at the end of the Korean War. Tucker goes back to his homeland of eastern Kentucky and starts a family and begins running moonshine for one of the local operators. And the story involves humor, tragedy, suspense. To me, it's the perfect novel because, first of all, I read it in one sitting. Second of all, I didn't leave wanting more. I felt completely satisfied by everything that happened in the novel. Chris, you're a Kentucky native, and the protagonist, Tucker, is this gritty fellow who sort of lives hand-to-mouth. As he came to be in your mind, how much did his military service at such a young age play in the role in developing the man he turned out to be?
Well, I think that it was always a factor. I think military service for any man or woman, regardless of where they're from, continues to influence their lives throughout. In the case of a combat veteran, I think that's a very strong influence. And in the case of Tucker, an invented imaginary character, it was always in my mind that this was how he had come of age, so to speak, and was trained this way and then would respond to circumstances very directly.
It seems like so many times we as Americans forget that a lot of the military guys are just young guys. Tucker's 16, 17 years old when he joins up, lying about his age. I know you dropped out of school at 17 to join the military. Can you empathize with Tucker in this whole idea of going into the military so young?
Well, it was what I had wanted at the time, and the reason I wanted was similar to Tucker's, which is just to get away from the hills, get away from home, and perhaps have an adventurous life. You mentioned the age. The average age in Vietnam, which was that war was being fought when I was a kid, the average age of the soldier was 19 years old. And you're right. I think people do forget that. Our wars are fought, are declared by old people and fought by young people.
And Tucker's family, as we come to meet them, it sort of develops out of happenstance. He meets his bride in a completely unconventional way. They begin a family. The children turn out to be unconventional. They're all severely handicapped. And while that may seem abnormal to those of us who grew up in a nuclear family here in Sioux City, Iowa, how normal is Tucker's way of life for people in the mid-50s in eastern Kentucky?
No, the people I know who married their high school sweethearts usually got divorced by their mid-20s. So, I'm hesitant to comment on what you were talking about, abnormalities. I'm not sure what is normal and what's not. Yes, he met Ron in unconventional circumstances. I'm not even sure what a conventional circumstance would be. I guess you meet somebody at work that you fall in love with. But, you know, people can't help who they fall in love with or when. Or how. I met my wife when she was walking her dog, and I said to her, "Is that a greyhound?" Well, that was probably an abnormal comment, seeing as how a greyhound is an incredibly distinctive animal, and only a moron would ask a question like that. So, but the grittiness of his life in the hills was a pretty accurate depiction of the way people lived in the hills in the 1950s and 60s when I was a child. Not everybody, but some families. And that kind of grittiness is still found in rural areas, whether it's in Iowa or the Dakotas or Mississippi, where I now live.
The title itself, Country Dark, it conveys a message immediately when you look at the front cover of the book. And in the book, there's a scene where Tucker's escaped a tense situation, and you wrote, "It was country dark, he closed his eyes feeling safe." How does country dark differ from other types of darkness?
Well, it's a term that you hear in the country. People certainly don't say it in towns and cities. the difference, or what country dark means, is a lack of ambient light. There's no street lights. There's no helicopter lights. There's no searchlights. There's no storefronts. There's it's a country dark means the only illumination is from the moon and whatever stage it's at, and maybe some starlights. And what you can do, what that means is you can see a lot more stars. And I find it, like Tucker, I find that that level of the country dark is safe. It's a security. It's also very, very beautiful. See, I think people forget that. They just don't know it. And, you know, people go on vacation, or they go to the desert, or they go to the country, and then they say, oh, look at all the stars. And then most of us live in areas now where there's a lot of light. You can see, if you're driving at night and the land is flat, you can see the glow of even a small town from 20 or 30 miles away. And, you know, this idea of the genuine nighttime has always been around for a long time, until really the invention of electricity.
Well, you know, you studied under the late Frank Conroy, the longtime director of the Iowa Writers Workshop in the 80s. One of Conroy's favorite lessons was that writing involved clarity, and Country Dark is written with absolute clarity. As I read it, I could almost feel the sweat of the people living in the Kentucky woods. I could feel the pain when tragedy struck Tucker's family. How does writing with such clarity differ from somebody who's reading this, something that is written so clear?
Well, it's difficult to write with clarity, of course, because every word has to be very carefully chosen for precision. The clarity that you're talking about, and I appreciate that what you're saying. For me, the clarity is a result of it wasn't a goal so much as a result of precision, and just making sure that every single word was absolutely necessary and that it contributed to whatever it was I was trying to express, whether it was an emotion or an image or, you know, sweat or an action.
My guest is Chris Offutt, talking about his new novel, Country Dark. Chris, the book's about 225 pages long, and you take us through Tucker's life, basically through the relevant period of 1954 to 71. That's 17 years in 225 pages or so, yet the book didn't feel like it went too fast or that I missed anything relevant that would have happened in his life. How do you achieve that tightness of writing as an author?
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. Thanks. How do I skipped a lot. That's how. You know, I skipped over. You look at somebody's life, and I think of characters in a book as real people when I'm working. They're not some invented person. They're real people, and perhaps in your life, and certainly in mine, and for most of us, we spend one third of our life asleep. So a third of our life is already not worth really writing about. And then a lot of the times in my life and people's lives, you know, they're engaged in tasks and chores and often repetitive. It might be particularly rewarding to mow the grass or weed a garden, but it's really not exactly a dramatic activity to write about. So what I tried to do is just move to the parts of his life that had that were more interesting to me and more dramatic for him, and situations and circumstances where he was required to take action due to the pressures that he felt, pressures from society, pressures from family, you know. And I just think that's the way most of us are, really, in life. And we live average of whatever it is, maybe 70 years. when I look back at my own life, that's what I remember. And that's what That's I think that's how people live. So when you say, how did I do it? I just kind of skipped over to the more interesting parts in that 17 years of his life. The other thing is I read a lot of novels. You know, I probably read two or three books a week on average, maybe two now. And I find that some of the times they're a little heavy on description or psychology or action that's not really that important. And I find myself skimming it, you know, to something that's more interesting to read about. And so I wanted to write a book that I would like to read, which is one where everything is clear and nothing is worth skimming.
Well, you certainly.
That's what I tried to do. I just wanted to write something that I would like to read.
Well, you achieved that.
It turned out that you liked it too. So
I did.
Great.
There's a line about halfway through the book, and it made me laugh out loud when I read it. You were talking about the moonshine operator whose name is Beanpole, and you wrote that he had four daughters who did what girls did. They get courted by lunkheads, marry the worst of the lot, and visit on Sundays with a passel of little lunkheads. This is, I got to admit, I've never heard the term lunkheads before, but I can tell from the context what it means. Is that a writing technique to use a character's observations just to inform the reader of the writer's of the character's personality?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's certainly one I did with this book. I tried to establish early on a trait, I suppose, or habit or pattern, where I would use you know, my own language to describe these people, but would enter into the way each of them thought, and sometimes use the specific language that they did. It's a tricky thing to do. It's a lot easier in dialogue, where you actually, you know, are recording what people are saying, and then a reader reads it. You know, the quotation marks around dialogue lets everybody know that this is coming from this particular person. For me, it was a little more of a challenge to slide into that person's language and their perceptions, while at the same time maintaining the consistency of the language of the book and moving the narrative forward.
I know we mentioned that you were at the Writer's Workshop. You spent a lot of time in Iowa City as both a student and a professor. Is there any community comparable in the United States to Iowa City in as much as the citizens who are not writers, the respect they have for the writers who are there?
Well, I haven't been in every city, so I don't know. I think Iowa City probably has more writers than per capita than anywhere else. The respect for the writers from the community at large is very high there, and I think that's also part of the most of the people I met when I lived in Iowa City. I lived there for probably 16 or 17 years. Most people read. It's a literate town. It's a literate state. It's a very educated state, and I think that translates to recognizing the value of writing and of literature. Also, Iowa City is a town that has had, you know, writers pouring through it year after year for I don't know how long, 50, 60 years, since the 1950s. So that's maybe more than 50 years. Is there another town that way? I live near Oxford, Mississippi, and Oxford is only about 25,000 people. There is a level of respect and for writers here and an understanding of it, but that's really mainly due to Faulkner. This is where he was from, and he was ignored by the community and made fun of until they shot a movie here that got their town's attention. And then, of course, he won the Pulitzer Prize and the Nobel Prize, and that kind of kickstarted this community here into this kind of recognition that there is a value to writers and what they do. So these are the only two towns I've lived where that was the case.
And when I see professors at the Writers' Workshop, I've talked to Ethan Kanan before, and I remember talking to Conroy and Marilyn Robinson. I'm sure the instructors at the school are very demanding, but how demanding are the students on their instructors? Because it's not like, you know, you've got to be a pretty darn good writer just to get into that school.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it varies from student to student, of course. But in general, the better writers wanted to learn. You know, if they're in a program like Iowa, or there's a lot of these programs now, and they last 2 to 3 years, that's a serious commitment of time and often sometimes money for people who have to change their lives drastically to move to a new town for a finite period. And that usually winds up with the people who do that are not only talented and hardworking, but they're also ready to learn. You know, and if any situation where you have young people who are eager to learn, that can translate to a kind of a pressure on the instructor. For some instructors, I suppose, on my part, it's always a pleasure. I would rather always prefer to work with young writers who are really, really enthusiastic about improving their work.
Well, this
I don't see it as a pressure personally.
The novel here is Country Dark, and you've really hit it out of the park with this one. I left it, and like I say, it was just like being completely full from a meal, and I didn't want any more, and it was just perfect. It's Country Dark. It's by Chris Offutt. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Grove Atlantic. You will not be disappointed when you pull this one out and read it. Chris, fantastic offering here. Thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it. Say hi to Iowa for me.
Will do.
If I'm on the radio, I can say hi to Iowa. Hi, Iowa.
All right.
My friends in Iowa City.
Thanks, Chris.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. In the cold Kentucky rain.